We all know that on Yom Kippur, one is obligated to abstain from five different activities. This is mentioned in the Mishnah in Yuma, the beginning of the 8th Perek, Yom Kippur, Masu Bachilu, B'Shesia, B'Rechitza, B'Sicha, B'Nilas HaSandal, B'Tashmei Shamita. Chamisha Inuyim. There are five afflictions that we have to do, right? Meaning we have to abstain from these activities in order to afflict ourselves. Of all of the Chamisha Inuyim, Achilu Shesia, which actually, as the Gemara explains later on, is really Hainohach, meaning it's one Shesia Bechlal Achila. If you look at the list, it sounds like there are six Inuyim. Gemara explains that Shesia is Bechlal Achila, it's one unit, it's viewed as one unit. Of all of these Chamisha Inuyim, clearly Achilu Shesia is the most Chamer, it's the most stringent of all of them. In two respects. First of all, there are some Rishonim that claim that the only Inuyim that are Daraisa are Achilu Shesia, the others are only Midrabanan. From the Gemara, you get the impression that they're all Daraisa. The Gemara and the Chayin Dalet Amid Aleph, for instance, the Tanu Rabbah v'Rav Yosef b'Shar Sifri d'Bei Rav Minayin Liyom HaKippurim Sh'osu B'Rachitza B'Sicha B'Nil Sasana B'Tashra Shamita Tamalom HaShaboson Shavos. From the memory that the Gemara and the Chayin Dalet quotes, it sounds like they learn the Shari Nui from a Pasuk, Shaboson, Shabbos Shaboson Hu Lochem. Sounds like it's a Daraisa. Similarly, the Gemara Daf Ayin Vav in Yuma lists a number of different psukim, and as the Mefarshim explain, it says the Lashon Inui five times, Lagabe Yom Kippur, both in Parshas Afrimos and in Parshas Emor, later in Parshas Pinchas. So because it uses the Lashon Inui five times, we derive the five Inuyim from these psukim. So the impression you get is that the Chamisha Inuyim, all five of them, are going to be Daraisa. And this, in fact, is the position of the Ran. The Ran at the beginning of the 8th parak of Yuma writes that all the Inuyim are Daraisa. The Rambam as well. The Rambam in Hilchas Shvisas Osar and Parak Aleph Halacha Hey. After mentioning the Isser of Achilu Shesia earlier, the Rambam there in Halacha Hey says, V'chein lamadnu mipi ha-shmua she'osu lirchotz bo, o losuch bo, lino lasasando, o livo. Mipi Hashmua from the Rambam only means that it's not mefurish in the pasuk, but it is a daraisa. That's the pasuk shot. That's how some of the Nosei Kelim explain. So there are Rishonim who claim that all of the Inuyim ataka daraisa, but not everyone agrees. Rashi, for example, on Daf Ayin Dalid, on that drush of Shabbos on Shavos, Rashi links the Shari Inuyim to Shavusim on Shabbos. He says just like the Chachamim made an asmachta from the pasuk Shabbos, and that the Torah mentions Lagave Shabbos to say that there are certain Isurim Derabon and certain things that we're not allowed to do that we call Shavusim. So too Rashi says Shabbos on Shavos, Yom Kippur has its Shavusim as well. The Shari Nuyim are also Isurim Derabon. It would appear that Rashi means to say, if he compares to the Shavusim on Shabbos are clearly Derabonan, so it would seem as though the Shari Nuyim are also only going to be Derabonan. Tosis as well. Tosis later on in Daf Ayin Zayin writes explicitly that the Shari Inuyim are only Midrabanan. And how does he know that? He says because the Gemara has certain dispensations for the Shari Inuyim. For instance, the Gemara says Mishiyesh lo chatotin berosho soch kedarko ve'eno choshesh. Someone who has some kinds of scabs on his head, he has some skin lesions, he's allowed to anoint himself with oils. Doesn't have to be concerned about the Issa Sicha. Someone as well, the Gemara says, Mishiyodav meluchlochos betit v'tzoa, someone whose hands are dirty, rochitz kedako v'yanochoshesh, he can wash himself, he doesn't have to be concerned. So if this is a sicha on Yom Kippur, this rechitza, with the raisa, asks Tosus, how could it be that in these extenuating circumstances one could be mekel? You could just push away and issa the raisa? He says it must be that the Shari Inuyim are only the Rabbanan, and heimamer v'heimamer, chazal v'mul mekel in these circumstances, even though it's not pikuach nefesh, not really a sakana, but Chazal will make it in these circumstances. Of course, that raya is not muchrich, because you could say that even if the Issa Sicha, the Issa Rechitza are taked daraisa, maybe nevertheless, in these cases, it's mutter. Why? Why? Because maybe the only kind of Sicha, the only kind of Rechitza that's also is Sicha Rechitza Shel Tainug. Maybe only anointing oneself or bathing oneself if it's for pleasure. But if it's not for pleasure, maybe that's just not included within the Issa to begin with. It's not a special dispensation. It's that if you understand the nature of the Issa, maybe if it's not L'shem Tainug, that's not an Issa Rechitza, that's not the Sicha that the Torah prohibited. This is one issue. Do we assume that the Shari Inuyim are only Midrabanan, or do we assume that they're Daraisa? Some Rishonim assume that it might be Daraisa, but other Rishonim claim that they're not daraisa. So this is one difference between the Shari Nuyim and Achilu Shasiyah. But even according to the Ran and the Rambam, who assume that the Shari Nuyim ataka daraisa, there still is a difference between Achilu Shasiyah as opposed to the Shari Nuyim. And that is vis-a-vis what? Onesh. What's the onesh for Achilu Shasiyah if someone eats on Yom Kippur or drinks? What's the onesh? Karis, right? Karis. But that chi of karis applies only to Achilu Shasiyah, not to the Shari Nuyim. That's what the Gemara Daf Ayin Daled writes as well, quotes a Braisa. Avo bisha amruas v'chulan lo amruan ush karis ela al ha'ochel v'shosa v'osa malacha b'lvah. That's it, but the Shari Nuyim, no. Why should that be true? According to the Ran and the Rambam, if the Shari Nuyim are also the Raisa, so why should we say that the chi of karis only applies to Achilu Shasiyah? So apparently, Achilu Shasiyah are viewed as the primary types of inuy that one is supposed to engage in. The Shari Nuyim, even if they're daraisa, they're only secondary. And as some of the Mefarshim claim, we don't really derive the Shari Nuyim just from the word Tanu es nafshosechem, v'inisim es nafshosechem, the Loshon inuy, because we would think that that refers to the primary inuy, that refers to Achilu Shasiyah. The fact that the Torah uses a Lashon Shabboson, Shabboson is an extra word, so that tells me that now we should redefine that the Inui refers not only to Achilu Shasiyah, but to the Shari Nuyim also. We need that extra word Shabboson. So because there's that extra word Shabboson, since the Karis is only mentioned in one Pasuk, the Chachamim felt that Karis probably only relates to the primary type of Inui and not to all these other secondary types of Inui. Okay, so this is certainly a distinction between Achilu Shasiyah as opposed to the Shari Nuyim. There's only a Chi of Karis for Achilu Shasiyah as opposed to the other Inui. The Shir for Achilu Shasiyah on Yom Kippur is different than Achilu Shasiyah when it comes to other Machalos Asuros. For other Machalos Asuros, we know that the Isra Achila, the Shir for Achila is what? Kizayis. In the Shir for Shasiyah, let's say a Nazir, how much... Why does another have to drink to violate his Isser? Revias, right? A quarter of a log. So when it comes to other Macholos Asuros, maybe I should just say Macholos Asuros, that means an object which is Asur. So the Shir Achilas Kezayas, the Shir Shasiyah is Revias. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, which is not Macholos Asuros in the classical sense, there's no object which is Asur. Anything is Asur to eat. There's no particular Ochel that's Asur. What's the Shir? The Mishnah and Dafayin Gimel and Yuma, the beginning of the eighth parak, says, "What's the shear for achil on Yom Kippur?" Anyone? Kikoseves hagasa, right? Like the big date, a large date. Is that larger or smaller than a kezayis?
Some small.
Larger. A kezayis is smaller than this koseves hagasa. And what's the shear for shasiya? Melo lugmo, a cheekful. Is that larger or smaller than a revias?
Larger.
That's smaller. Melo Lugmav is a row of revias in the typical person. So it's interesting that the Shir Shasi on Yom Kippur is less than Macholos Asuros, and the Shir Achil on Yom Kippur is more than Macholos Asuros. What kind of a strange idea is this? If it's like Macholos Asuros, it's not Macholos Asuros in the classical sense, it's the same bread that's Mutter before Yom Kippur is going to be Asur. So it's not Macholos Asuros, it's not like this Cheftz is a Cheftz of the Asura. Yom Kippur, though, is an Issa Kloli, if you will, right? It's an Issa on the Gavra. Right, it's an Issa Gavra that one is not allowed to eat this item on this particular day for those 24 hours. So, but why should the Shia be different? So the Gemara in Yuma on the Afayin Tes explains that that's because the Torah doesn't use a Lashon Achila when it comes to Yom Kippur. It doesn't say Lo Socha, Lo Sochlu. Right? We've been talking a lot about this. It doesn't use a Lashon Achila in the formulation of the Issa. What does it say? Ashalo Se'une. V'inisim es nafsho seichem. Inui, there's a requirement to be ma'ane oneself, to afflict oneself. So the shir should be a function of what is an affliction, what is not an affliction. When do we say that by eating a certain amount, the person is miyashev daito, he feels better, he's not afflicted anymore? When do we say that after drinking a certain amount, he's miyashev daito, and he doesn't feel afflicted anymore? So says the Gemara, the Chachamim estimated, they were Mashiach, or they have a Kabbalah, that Behachi Miyas V'daita, with the Shir, Kikoseves Hagasa, with the Shir Melo Lugmav, a person's Miyashev his Das, he's not Misaneh. That's a bittul of the Inui. That will negate the affliction. He no longer feels tormented, he no longer feels afflicted by not eating, by not drinking. So that's why that's the Shir. When it comes to Yom Kippur, the Shir is not Revias, the Shir is not Kezayas, because we're not looking at a Lashon Achil, at a Lashon Shasiyah. We're looking at Bittul Ha'inui. Since the pasuk uses a lashon of inui, so for shear, for shiurim, for the measurements that we're looking for in terms of the iser, it's different. We're looking for a shear that's going to be miyashir, the das of the individual, that's going to be mevatel, his sense of affliction. Some of the achronim take this a little bit further, though. Some of the achronim say, well, once the pasuk doesn't mention lashon achila, if it only mentions inui, so maybe that should tell me not only that the shear is different, that should define the measurement differently, maybe that should redefine the essence of the Isser itself. Maybe the nature of the Isser, Achila on Yom Kippur, Shasiya on Yom Kippur, is different than Achila Shasiya in Kalatar Kula. Why? Because maybe Achila Shasiya, when it comes to Machalas Asuros, that's an Isser Achila. You can't do a Maisa Achila, you can't do a Maisa Shasiya. When it comes to Yom Kippur, since the Torah doesn't mention a Lashon Achila, it doesn't mention a Lashon Shasiya in the Lav, so maybe not only is the Shear redefined, maybe the essence of the Isser is redefined. Maybe the nature of the Isser Achila on Yom Kippur or Shasiya, that's not to do a Maisa Achila or a Maisa Shasiya. Maybe as long as a person is Mevatel his Inui, if he's no longer afflicted, he's violated the law, violated the Isser of Achila and Shasiya on Yom Kippur, even if he hasn't done a Maisa Achila. He hasn't done a Maisa Shasiya. What do I mean? So take, for instance, the Gemara in Yuma on the Peyam Ed Beis talks about the concept of Achila Gasa. Say a person stuffs themselves. Not a good thing to do in general. Certainly it's not healthy. And it's not something that the Torah looks at fondly. But let's talk about, technically speaking, does a person violate the Isser or not? If a person is Ochel Achila Gasa on Yom Kippur, does he violate the Isser Achila on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara quotes Reish Lakish, who says, Ha'ochel Achila Gasa b'Yom HaKippurim Potter, Maitaima Asher Lo Su'una Ksiv Prat L'Mazik. Reish Lakish says, because the Torah uses a Lashon Asher Lo Su'una, Prat L'Mazik, if a person eats an Achila Gasa, since he's Mazik himself, he's Potter. He's Potter. He stuffs himself, so he's Potter from that. He's Potter from the Yisra Achila. So Rashi there writes, Prat L'Mazik, L'ze She'enu Mevatel Mimenu Shum Inui, Rashi says that the person who's ochel achila gasa on Yom Kippur is mazik es ha'ochlin ve'es atzmo. He's mazik the food. He's mazik the food because he's not really eating the food. He's just destroying it. It's like he's dirtying the food. He's not benefiting from the food because he's stuffing himself. So he's mazik the food, but he's also mazik himself, Rashi says. Why does Rashi have to mention that he's mazik himself? Why shouldn't he just say the person didn't do a ma'isa achila? Achila gasa is not an achila in kol ha'Torah kula. In fact, Reish Lakish has a different memory that the Gemara quotes later, that zar she'ochel truma achila gasa mishalim esakeren ve'eno mishalim esachomesh. We know if a person eats truma, if a non-kohen eats truma, so he's got to pay. He has to pay for the truma itself. He stole the truma from the shevet kuhuna, so he pays for the keren, but he also has to pay chomesh. He has to pay a fine. He pays a fifth more. That's the fine for eating truma b'shogeg. Reish Lakish though says if zar is ochel truma achila gasa, then he doesn't pay chomesh. Why doesn't he pay chomesh? Because the special fine of chomesh is introduced in the pasuk with the words kiyochal, v'ish kiyochal kodesh b'shkoga, etc. Then he has to pay the chomesh. Kiyochal prat l'mazik. Kiyochal comes to exclude a person who's mazik. And there Rashi says, just a couple of lines later in the Gemara, prat l'mazik es ha'truma. Comes to exclude a person who's mazik the truma. Here, he's ochel achila gasa. He's not really benefiting from the truma, not benefiting from the ochlim as he should. He's not eating them properly. So we view that as a mazik. He's mazik the truma. He's mazik the ochel. When it comes to Yom Kippur, Rashi is, and not only is he mazik the ochel, he's mazik himself. Why does Rashi have to add legabe Yom Kippur that he's mazik himself? Just say he's mazik the ochlim, just like he said by truma. If legabe macholas asuros, it's enough to say that if he's mazik the ochlim, he's not chayyeh. That's not called achila. Kiyocha means achila. Achila gasa is not achila because he's mazik the yocha. We don't view that as a ma'is achila. That's basically what that drush is telling me. It's not viewed as a ma'is achila. If it's not a ma'is achila, what is it? It's a ma'is hezek. If it's not a ma'is achila, even though you are ingesting the food, halachically we don't treat that as an achila. So basically you're just destroying the food. You're destroying that only because you're not using it in the proper way. So if that's enough when it comes to truma, zar she'ochel truma, it should be enough when it comes to achila and Yom Kippur too. What's the difference? Why does Rashi have to add the issue, the extra point that he's mazik himself as well? Yes.
But Truma doesn't mention achila in the pasuk.
But Truma does mention achila.
Yes,
in the
pasuk. Doesn't mention achila, so therefore you need a ma'isa achila. You even with even without a.
What you're saying is, since on Yom Kippur the Torah says Ashelo Seune, it only mentions Bittel Ha'inu, it doesn't mention Achila. So it's one thing to say Achila Gas is not a Mais Achila, but that's not enough to pater you. Because as long as you're not Mevatel the Inu, if you're not Mazik yourself,
even with the Mais
Achila, right? If you were Mevatel the Inu with that Achila, even if it's not a Mais Achila, you should still be Chayiv. That's what Rashi had to say. Not only are you Mazik the Ochlim, you're Mazik yourself. And if you mazik yourself, the inui is not going to go away. If you mazik yourself, you're stuffing yourself, somehow the inui is not going to go away completely. I mean, we think if you stuff yourself, you're not going to be ma'una b'chlam. But apparently, stuffing yourself enough, that inui somehow, Rashi is saying, the inui is not going to go away completely. So because it's not going to go away, you're still potter. That's why Rashi perhaps had to mention this extra point. Because Yom Kippur is different than other Isuri Achila. Other Isuri Achila, you just have to do a Mais Achila. Yom Kippur, there's no issue of Mais Achila, perhaps. Even if I don't do a Mais Achila, I could still violate the Isur of Achila on Yom Kippur. So that's why Rashi had to mention that you mazik yourself as well with the Achila Gasa. If you mazik yourself with the Achila Gasa, you're not mevatel the Inu. If you're not mevatel the Inu, then you're going to be part of it. Yes?
In regards to when you're eating, it's a process, so maybe before you stuff yourself, you are the
person. Right, that's what's strange about it, right. When you first start eating, so that first kezayis, or the first koseres hagasa, you should be chayef for that.
Yeah, that's why Rashi says that it's right after the fast started.
Yeah.
Right after the fast started that you're full already. Oh, yeah. Very good. So once you're stuffed, no one's stuffed, right, but right at the beginning of the fast, right? Everyone. I mean. So if you're stuffed right at the beginning of the fast, so then if you eat a little bit more, you're not accomplishing anything. So if you're not accomplishing anything, then you take a mazik the ochel, but you also mazik yourself because you don't need the food. It's actually paining you to some extent. Right? It's adding to the inu. It certainly is not detracting from the inu. Rafi.
Understandably so, this person is mazik himself currently, but in the long run, this person's not going to, like, they're going to digest and it's not going to be using mazik them. It's just going to be, is that...
Right, so apparently, if he doesn't feel... if he doesn't feel enjoyment, doesn't feel satiated from his eating now, if it's not helping him now, even if in the long run somehow it'll be beneficial for him, maybe the fact that right now what he's doing, the pain that he's experiencing now, is offset, or the benefit that he's going to get later is offset by the pain that he's experiencing now. So even if he will get some kind of a benefit, we don't treat that halakhically as being significant somehow. This question relates to another shaila as well. The question as to whether Achila on Yom Kippur is defined as a Maisa Achila, just like in Kol HaTorah Kula, or Achila on Yom Kippur should be defined as Bittel Ha'inui, taking away the sense of affliction from the individual. That Inui not only defines the Shir, but it also defines the essence of the Isser. This relates to another shaila. That is, what happens if a person eats Achila Shelo Kedarka? We talked about this a little bit in terms of Basa B'Cholav, Achila Shelo Kedarka, right? The Shagas Ari in Siman Ayin Vav writes that on Yom Kippur, if a person eats Achila Shelo Kedarka, he can get Malkus, even though in Kol HaTorah Kula, in other Macholos Asuros, you eat Shelo Kedarka, there's no Malkus. Some Rishonim say it's not even an Issur D'Oraisa at all, it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan. Says the Shagas Ari, when it comes to Yom Kippur, Achila Shelo Kedarka is Chayiv Malkus. It's not a Maisa Achila, but you can still be Chayav Malkus. Why? He says, well, look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Asher lo Seune. It doesn't use a Lashon Achila. So if it doesn't use a Lashon Achila, then Achila on Yom Kippur is not governed by Maisa Achila. Even if you don't do a Maisa Achila, as long as you're Mevatel the Inui, as long as you're no longer afflicted as a result of your digestion, ingestion, then you'll get Malkus. You violate the Isser. Rav Zsolti in his Mishnas Yavetz, as well as Rav Sternbach in his Modern Muzman, and they both point out that from the Rambam you get the impression that he disagrees with the Shagas Ari. Because the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perakei Halacha Ches, in talking about Achila Shelo Kedarko, he uses the following lashon. Listen carefully to the Rambam. He says, "Bamedvar Mamurim Sheim Misrabim B'Shari Surim Ela B'Makom Sakana." When do we say that you're not allowed to be Misrabi from Shari Surim unless it's Pikuach Nefesh? Only when it's derech hana, derech achila. Kigod shemachilin asachol ashkotzim or emosim, o chometz bepesach, o shemachilin also biyom hakipurim. They machil him whatever is to the issue, Yom Kippur, chometz, shkotzim, etc. But it's they machil him kederech achila, kederech hana. Avol shelo kederech hana, harei zeh muter afilu shelo b'makom sakana. except for some exceptions, the Rambam says. So notice carefully, the Rambam says that when is it mutter to be misrapi b'shari surim? It's only mutter, ein misrapi b'shari surim el b'makam sakona, only b'makam sakona when? If it's kederach hanah. If it's kederach hanah, so then it's a problem. So b'makam sakona, it's mutter to be misrapi b'shari surim, to find a refuah, to find some kind of medicine from shari surim, that's mutter. Only b'makam sakana, but that's if it's derech hanah. If it's shelo kederech hanah, so then it's mutter, even shelo b'makam sakana. Notice, achila b'yom kippur is one of the examples the Rambam gives that is only mutter shelo b'makam sakana kederech hanah. So you see, achila on yom kippur, according to the Rambam, is going to be mutter shelo kederech hanah, even shelo b'makam sakana. Again, the Rambam is writing that b'makam sakana, you know, everything is mutter. Pikuach nefesh doche kol ha'torah kula. But we only say that b'makom sakana, what is not, if it's shalom b'makom sakana, one is not allowed to be ochel macholas asuros kederach hanah. Shalom b'makom sakana, one is allowed to be ochel macholas asuros shalom kederach hanah. Kederach hanah it's asur, but shalom kederach hanah it's not going to be mutter, even shalom b'makom sakana. One of the examples the Rambam gives for which it's also to be nene shalom makom sakana kederach hanah is achila b'yom kippur. So don't you see that the Rambam argues with the Shagas Aryeh? He claims that the concept of achila shlo kedarko is nismayed from achila on yom kippur as well. That's not included within the isser achila on yom kippur. Just like all the machalos asuros are not subject to the isser achila shlo kedarko. It sounds like the Rambam is arguing with the Shagas Aryeh. Yes.
As long as you're not afflicted.
The Shagas Aryeh says that even if you have an achila shelo kedarko, you can still violate the Isser achila on Yom Kippur. The Rambam would say that if it's an achila shelo kedarko, you're not going to violate the Isser. That's why if it's shelo kedarko, then it's mutter to give that to a chole, even shelo b'makom sakana. It's shelo kedarko.
But I thought the Shagas Aryeh would say that as long as you're not afflicted, but even though it's not kedarko, you'd still be afflicted.
No, since you're being satiated, you're taking away your sense of tainus here.
You're no longer afflicted,
right? That's what it means. You're no longer afflicted.
Even though if it's not hanah, you're not going to be.
No, it's shelo kedarko. You're eating it in a somewhat abnormal fashion. Let's say you wrap it in something, or let's say you eat it very hot, or let's say you put something bitter into it. So you might not be getting the same hanah from it, and you're not doing it in a normal fashion. But the reality is, you're not going to be as afflicted. The Shagas Aryeh claims you'll still violate the Isser achila on Yom Kippur. The Rambam says no. The same distinction that we have in other macholos asuros between shelo kedarko and kedarko will apply to the Isser achila on Yom Kippur as well. Yes.
When the Rambam says derech hanah, he's talking about hanah just of achila or hanah in general.
He's talking hanah in general, but he's referring to achila as well. If we're talking about achila, so derech hanah would have to be derech achila. Yeah.
Well, what does the Rambam do with the Gemara Pesachim that we discussed in Chulin, that if it doesn't say Achila, then you're Chayiv even not B'derech Hanah? I mean, it seems like
it's a very good
and
question.
He holds that by
it's a very good question. So apparently the Rambam assumes that the Pasuk Ashelo Se'uneh, Chazal understood, is talking about the Shir, but it's not talking about other things. I don't know, it's an interesting question. Right? The fact is, it doesn't say Achila on Yom Kippur. Right? The Lashon Achila is not used. So what's the Rambam going to do? I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. But this Rambam perhaps could be linked to another Rambam as well. The Rambam in Hilchos Shvisas also, Perek Beis Halacha Hey, talks about another kind of shelo kederach achila. Not taking a perfectly normal food and eating it in an abnormal fashion, but let's say a person eats ochlem she'enem ru'uyim. Let's say someone eats food that's not fit for human consumption, or drinks something that's not fit for human consumption. What's the din? If he eats these kinds of foods or drinks these foods on Yom Kippur, does he violate the Isra achila and shasi on Yom Kippur or not? So the Rambam says, "Ochel ochlem shenem ruuyim, ashosem ashkem shenem ruuyim, afilu ochel v'shosem ayan harbe poter minakaris." He's poter. Not clear if it's an issa deraisa. He's poter. The Rambam says. So why is he poter? Rabbeinu Manoach and the Rambam suggests that the Rambam assumes that if you eat ochlem shenem ruuyim or you drink mashkem shenem ruuyim, since they're not chazul achila, since they're not edible, a person is not going to be miyashev daito. A person is not going to be miyashev daito with these items. You won't be mevatel the sense of inui by eating these items. Quite a big chiddush. Rabbeinu Manoach assumes that the Rambam really holds that bitul ha'inui is the koveya for the Isra Achila on Yom Kippur, And he claims that if you eat ochlam she'enem ru'uyim, you're not going to be miyashev daitam. The inui will not be misbatim. According to what we're saying, there's a much simpler pshat in this Rambam. You could say the Rambam l'shitasa. Just like the Rambam holds that the Isra Achila on Yom Kippur is subject to the rules of Derech Achila, in terms of the way that you're eating this Maichel, the Rambam holds that if you eat Shaloka Darko, even on Yom Kippur, you're going to be potter. So that's why the Rambam will also say, the same Rambam will hold that if you eat Ochlim She'enem Ru'uyim, you eat them perfectly normally, you don't wrap them in anything, and there's nothing bitter, but the Ochel itself is not Roy. So if the Ochel itself is not Roy, you shouldn't be Chayav either. Right? Even if, let's say, you will be mevatel the inui by eating this item, you get some nutritional benefit, maybe you're not going to be as afflicted as you were before, but the fact is it's achila shelo kedarko, whether it's achila shelo kedarko in the maisa achila, or it's achila shelo kedarko in the chevtza shel ochel, still achila shelo kedarko. So the Rambam holds that the din of shelo kedarko applies even to achila on Yom Kippur. So if you eat shelo kedarko, whether the maisa achila shelo kedarko or the item that you're eating is not normal to be eaten, it should be potter. It's the same idea can explain both Rambams. The third issue that some of the Achronim mention regarding this question as to whether the Isra Achila on Yom Kippur is subject to Dine Achila, or it's a totally different concept that basically the Isra Achila is to be mevatel the sense of Inui on the day. That relates to the following issue. There's a Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish in Chulin on the Kuf Gimel Amud Beis regarding Isra Achila. What kind of Hano'ah do we look at when you're eating the item? Do we look at Hano'as Me'ayim? Hanoi in the belly, nutritional benefit, the fact that you feel satisfied from the item. Or do we look at Hanoi's gorum? Hanoi in the throat, the taste, it's a good taste. What's a nafkamina if we follow Hanoi's meyayim or Hanoi's gorum? So the Gemara has a strange nafkamina.
Feeding tube.
Interesting, we're going to get to that. Yes, we're going to get to that lamaisa in just a moment. But before we get to the feeding tube, a bit more of a non-conventional nafkamina, and that is, let's say a person eats a chatzi zayis, and then he throws it up, and he eats another chatzis zayis. So, if he eats the first, when he ate the first chatzis zayis, he did have hanoas goron, but when he threw it up, so he didn't have hanoas meyayim. So now the two chatzis zayis came combined together for the hanoas meyayim. He's not going to have hanoas meyayim of a kezayis, but he'll have hanoas goron of a full kezayis, even though he threw up the first kezayis. So that's the machlokes. If we follow hanoas meyayim, so he's not going to be chay because he didn't have a full kezayis. But if he follow Hanaz Goron, so even if he throws up the first Chatzai Zayis, he'll still be Chai because he had Hanaz Goron from both Chatzai Zayis. They can combine together. Okay? It's a little bit of a strange case. The Chasam Sofer writes in a Tshuva, in Arachayim, in Simakuv Chav Zayin, that even Rabbi Yochanan normally assumes that you need, that the Hanaz Goron is sufficient, even Rabbi Yochanan will say that Legabi Yom Kippur, you need Hanaz Meyayim. Because the Pasuk says, Asher Lo Se'una. Achila on Yom Kippur is not defined as achila, as a maisa achila, claims the Chasam Sofer. The Pasuk Asher Lo Se'una tells me that the nature of the Yisra achila on Yom Kippur is to be mevatel the inui. So even Rabbi Yochanan, who normally assumes that by Yisra achila we follow Hanoas Garon, but by Yom Kippur he'll say we should follow Hanoas Meyai. The Minchas Chinuch writes that when the Chasam Sofer said that even Rabbi Yochanan will say legabe Yom Kippur that we follow Hanoas Meyayim, he never meant to say that we only follow Hanoas Meyayim. He meant that we follow Hanoas Meyayim as well, meaning you need both. He never meant to say Asher Lo Se'una tells me that Hanoas Meyayim is sufficient. He meant to say that don't think it's only Hanoas Garon, that if you have Hanoi in the taste, Hanoi in the throat, that's enough to be Chayiv. No. Asher Lo Se'una tells me that you also have to be Mevatel the Inu. That, Minchas Tinnach, is a very important point. Minchas Tinnach is the first one who's telling us that maybe, rather than looking at the Yisra Achila on Yom Kippur as either or, either Maisa Achila or Bittel Inui, maybe it's what? Sfei Dinim. Maybe it's both things together. Asher Lo Se'una certainly introduces another concept here, perhaps, but who says it's to the exclusion of Maisa Achila? Maybe it's in addition to Maisa Achila. Maybe you can eat both. Maybe to be chayev for achila on Yom Kippur, you do need a ma'is achila, but you also need hanoas me'ayim. You also have to be satiated. You also have to be mevatel the inui as a result of that achila. Without having both, maybe you're not going to be chayev. So this whole discussion led a group of achronim in their analysis of whether, let's say there's a chola who's hooked up to a feeding tube, or he's hooked up to an IV. So would he violate the Isra Achila on Yom Kippur if they were to feed him through that IV? I mean, obviously, if he's a chola sheyesh bo sakana, there's nothing to talk about. He's allowed to eat. But let's say he's not a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Well, let's say he's not hooked up to a feeding tube, but he feels terrible. Yom Kippur, how can he eat? What's he going to do? The doctors say he's supposed to eat, but he feels terrible. If he were to eat through the IV, would he violate the Isra Achila now? They say, I don't know, I didn't hear this, I heard this, you know, third person, but they say the Rav once had to eat on Yom Kippur, and he asked to eat derech and IV. He asked the doctor to put an IV in him so that he could eat through the IV. He won't have to eat through the mouth. Eating on Yom Kippur used to be something that everyone, they couldn't imagine. They were so afraid of eating. Nowadays, we're a lot more lenient about this. You know, we're so much more concerned. Medicine has advanced so far that the doctors are so concerned that if a person doesn't eat, they'll, you know, something else will happen and this other disease will occur and whatever. So Rabbanim have become much more makel in this. Used to be, Yidden was so nervous. Eat on Yom Kippur, how could you possibly do that? So the Rav had this fear, this old European fear in him. So he asked that they put an IV in him so that he could eat derech this IV. I don't think the chol is mechuyev to do that. I mean, that's certainly heroic measures to try to avoid achila on Yom Kippur. I don't know if he absolutely has to do that. But the question is, does he accomplish anything by doing that? Maybe the Rav's whole trick wouldn't accomplish anything anyway. You could hear someone saying, and if you take a strict Shagasari approach, you could hear someone saying, well, there's nothing that you can accomplish through that. Because if achila on Yom Kippur is exclusively defined as bitul ha'inui, so even if you eat through the IV, you're not going to be misanin, right? You might not be doing a ma'isa achila, but the reality is you are being satiated. The sense of affliction from fasting is going to pass, so you should violate the law anyway. So you're not accomplishing anything. Just eat normally. It's only if you assume that even on Yom Kippur, there is this concept of ma'isa achila. So you could say that in one of two ways. You could say that bitul inui doesn't relate to the actual isser, it only relates to the shir. Maybe the isser achila on Yom Kippur is exclusively defined as ma'isa achila. But even if you don't want to go that far, even if you say ashela sa'una relates to the essence of the isser as well, like the chasim sofer wanted to say. But maybe the chasim sofer meant to say tzvei dinim. Maybe you need both. Maybe you need bitul inui, but you also need ma'isa achila. So if you also need ma'isa achila, then you can readily understand that if you eat through some kind of a feeding tube, that's not derech achila, that's not the normal way of eating. So there's no question that you're not going to violate the isser. Yes.
You could also use both an IV or a feeding tube. The rate at which it dispenses is less than
pachas pachas mi kashir.
No, but you know, well, within the time frame of 9 minutes or whatnot, or three, mm-hmm. You know, so it might be that even it's less than a lalugma within 9 minutes, regardless. So
I hear what you're saying.
Because the drip pretty slowly. The
okay,
rate.
Right. I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure about that. Yes.
Same discussion heard by Benji.
Right, if you need both achila and sevia, right, the truth is, I'm sorry, midrabbanan, you might be chayev to bench even without a sevia. Minatara, maybe you need both achila and sevia. So at least to have a chiyav deraisa, which would be enough for minat hasafek, yeah, at least to have a chiyav deraisa, maybe that would play some kind of a role. Interesting. Unless you say that to be chayev in benching, you need sviya b'derech achila. If you have a sviya b'derech achila, maybe you're not going to be chayev in benching. Anyway, yes.
The din of hesishur asur in the Torah,
right.
Is that from the din of inui, or is that a din in achila? Is that supporting the concept of space?
So again, that's the same question over here. If you assume achila on Yom Kippur is defined as achila, so then chatzishir would be chatzishir of achila. If bitul inui is the concept, so then chatzi bitul inui, you know, right? If you're with half of a bitul inui, so then maybe you should be chayef for that. It should be a function of how you define the issa. Reb Chaim Moshe Grzenski in his Tshuvas Achiezer Chelak Gimel Simon Samach Aleph, he was asked this shaila, and he says that the Dover Poshut, he assumes that without Hanoaz Goron, you're not going to violate the issa achila on Yom Kippur. He says even the Chasam Sofer, who holds that you need Hanoas Me'ayim, that's a chiddush, that's an extra requirement. But without Hanoas Goron, there's no question that the Yisra Achil is not going to be violated. So he seems to be going along the lines of what the Rav wanted to say. Not that you're mechuyev to do this, but if a person wanted to do it, he actually would accomplish something by doing so. Because as long as you're not eating biderech achil in a normal fashion, if you eat through the IV, since it's not a normal way of eating, so maybe the Isser achil on Yom Kippur is not going to be violated. Yes?
Do you have an Isser in the first place if it's makom sakana?
It's not makom sakana. Again, if it's the cholish yesh bo sakana, there's no question that it's mutati. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Okay, we're talking about a cholish she'ein bo sakana. He's not besakana, but he does have to eat. Meaning now he's not besakana. If he doesn't eat, then the doctors feel that he's going to get into sakana later. So
it's like
if it's mamash besakana, so obviously if it's a sakana, he has to eat whatever he can eat. But a person who does, if the doctors say that he does have to eat, but he doesn't have to eat so much, you know, derech that IV, it's fine. So then, the truth is, you could say even gabi echol shiesh b'sakana, meaning even if you'll define this individual, he's not b'sakana now; he's walking around. There's no problem. But if he doesn't eat, he'll be b'sakana. So maybe for him it's taka mutter to eat, but he wants to eat in a way in which he won't violate the isur achila. He wants to minimize his violation of the isurin. So does he accomplish anything by putting the feeding tube in? That's what we're at.
So it could be mutter, but
even though it's mutter, he doesn't want to violate the issa. So does he accomplish anything by doing that? Will he not violate the issa, or should he just eat regularly because he's going to violate the issa anyway with the feeding tube? That's the question that we're addressing over here. The Steichem, it quotes from one Gaon, I think we mentioned this last year, that because the Torah, in describing the issa achila on Yom Kippur, uses a lashon of inui, is another nafkamina lemaisa. That is, one should not be allowed, according to this Gaon, one should not be allowed to use skulos to make it easier to fast. You know, to have some kind of a skula, to give some kind of a tefillah or some kind of an amulet, or whatever skulas, we know a little bit about skulas, right? Hocus pocus. To use some kind of a skula to make the fast easier, he claims it's also to do. If you were to tell me that the Isra Achila is defined as a Maisa Achila, so skulas have nothing to do with that. If you don't do a Maisa Achila, there's no problem. But if the Torah, since the Torah defined the Isra Achila as Bittul Ha'inui, so he said anything that's going to be mavatel the inui of the day, anything that's going to make the fast a little bit more lenient, a little bit easier, should be aser to do. So based on this, it should be aser. Some want to suggest that maybe it should be aser to take those kalei tzom pills, to take the pills before Yom Kippur to make the fast easier, because you're being mavatel the inui, you're making it easier. According to this Gaon, it should be aser. Now the truth is, the Steichavit himself says that most poskim argue with this Gaon. Because most poskim assume that the only time that bittul inui is actually usur is on Yom Kippur itself, where I'm not allowed to do something from before the day to make the fast easier. There are some people you're supposed to eat before Yom Kippur, also might even be a mitzvah, but there are some people who like to drink a little bit more. They'll drink Gatorade already a day and a half or so before to get all the nutrients up, all the minerals and vitamins in their system. It should be usur to do that because you're going to be mevatel the inui 2 days later. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that the Torah prohibits a person from engaging in any activity that's going to assuage his pain on Yom Kippur itself, if as long as he's not doing that action on the day. He's doing it before the Lechor, there shouldn't be any issue. This Gaon apparently felt, maybe the Gaon was saying that if you do a skula on Yom Kippur itself, you do something on the day itself, maybe that would be a problem. But there's no question, taking the Kalei Tzom pills before, I think Rov Poskim would say there's no problem with doing that. Even if you'll define the Yisra Achila on Yom Kippur as Bittul Ha'inui, that's if you mavatel the Inui on Yom Kippur itself, but to do something from before to make the Inui easier on the day, L'chore, it's a davar pasha that should be mutter.
I'm just saying that, like, since the pills are only going to take effect on Yom Kippur, I don't know.
So what? But I'm doing the Maisa before. I'm taking the pill before, so what should be the problem? What should be the problem? Sorry?
Like the pills are like made that they won't kick in for a certain number of hours.
Right, but I don't think that should matter, even though they're not going to kick in. I've done something from before the day. As long as I don't do a Maisa Achila on the day, or I don't do something on the day to be Mevatel Inui Hayom, that should be okay. Yes.
Can you imagine it's like similar to Achila beforehand also, if you eat before Yom Kippur, so you're stuffing yourself.
Right, and that might be a mitzvah also.
Right,
so, you see, the Torah wants you to prepare for the day. It's not Asa to do that. That's Mutter. It's eating on the day is Asa, but eating before the day would be Mutter. Okay. So, this is as far as the Isser Achila on Yom Kippur. There are some people who are allowed to eat, who are allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, and that is whom? A chola. Chola is mutter b'achil on Yom Kippur. The Gemara in Krisus on Daf Yud Gimel mentions that for a muberes, for a pregnant woman, it's mutter to eat pachos pachos mikashir. Yitiru lalu ubra lechol pachos pachos mikashir mipnei hasakon. Muberes is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur pachos pachos mikashir, meaning less, a smaller amount, so that if that's possible, if she has to eat more, if there's a real sakana to her life, so then there's no question that she can eat kashir. But if she can eat pachos pachos mikashir, and it won't be a problem, meaning less than the shir kikoseves in pachos mechidei achilas pras, there's a shir tziruf, meaning if you eat a little bit and then you wait a certain amount of time, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, hamachlokas haposkim, exactly how long, anything from about 2.5 minutes to 8 minutes. So they say you should eat every 10 minutes or so. So if you eat less than a shir less than a shir kikoseves within the 8 minutes, then you wait the 8 minutes and you eat a little bit more, so then you won't violate the Yisra Achila. It is Chatzi Shir, but again, Chatzi Shir is more lenient, so Pachos Pachos Mikashir is certainly better. That's what the Gemara Krisa says. Muberes should eat Pachos Pachos Mikashir, so that she won't really violate the full Yisra Achila. The Ramban in his Chidushim Tiyuma says, not only Muberes, but a Chola as well. A Chola Shiesh Pasakana, who's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, should eat Pachos Pachos Mikashir. He should eat less than the Shir, in a certain amount of time. I think what it comes down to is if you have a shot glass, a 1 ounce, 1 fluid ounce shot glass, if you fill it up with food or with drink, normally it's just enough to drink. They don't really have to eat. But if a person drinks a shot glass, a 1 ounce shot glass, that's less than Melo Lugmav. Melo Lugmav, if you assume that a Revius is about 3.3 fluid ounces, so Melo Lugmav will be around 1.5, or a little bit more than that. So 1 ounce, one fluid ounce is probably less than the shear. So that's what the poskim say. You should drink. If a person has to eat or drink, they should drink less than a shir, drink the shot glass, wait the 10 minutes, and then they could drink a little bit more. This is the Ramban shita. The Rambam in Hilchos Shvi'isa Sasa, when he talks about Nechola eating on Yom Kippur, he doesn't mention Pachos Pachos Mikashir at all. So that led some of the Achronim to suggest that maybe the Rambam argues with the Ramban. There's a comment of the Netziv in his Hamek Sha'ola, his mammoth commentary on the She'iltos. The Netziv felt that both the Rambam and the Rif argue with the Ramban. They're mechalik. They distinguish between Muberes as opposed to Chola. Muberes has to eat Pachos Pachos Mikashir on Yom Kippur, but a Chola can eat Kedako. He can eat normally, not less than a Shir. What's the difference? The Netziv explained, maybe the difference is this. Muberes is not really in sakana. The sakana that we have, the suffix sakana, is for the uber, it's for the fetus. She's not really in a sakana. She's not in danger. The sakana is for the uber. So maybe a suffix sakana for the uber is not going to be docha, the yisud deraisa of achila on Yom Kippur. But the chola is in a suffix sakana himself, or he's b'sakana himself. So maybe the chola is b'sakana, that's stronger. So the chola is b'sakana, maybe he doesn't need pachos pachos mikashir. Maybe he can eat kedarko, and maybe that's the reasoning behind the Rif and the Rambam, who disagree with the Ramban, who say that even if a Muberes has to eat Pachos Pachos Mikashir, a Chola can eat Kedarko. But that could be a Machlokas or Rishon. Do we assume that a Chola on Yom Kippur has to eat Pachos Pachos Mikashir, just like a pregnant lady, or can he eat Kedarko? What's the Machlokas Rishon, and what should this be based on? Why should you have to eat Pachos Pachos Mikashir? It's Mutter Ba'achila, Mutter for him to eat, so he should be able to eat normally. So some achronim want to suggest that maybe this relates to the age-old question as to how pikuach nefesh is docha isurei daraisa. We know pikuach nefesh is docha kol haTorah kula. What does that mean? We talk about pikuach nefesh being docha isurei in the context of Shabbos. Right? Pikuach nefesh is docha isurei Shabbos. So what does that mean? Sometimes we find that when one principle in halacha is docha another, when it pushes off another, we look at that as a limited kind of dechiyah, a limited kind of dispensation, if you will. And sometimes we look at it as a more expansive kind of dispensation, a more expansive kind of dechiyah. The terms that the Achronim give are dechuya and hutra. Sometimes when Isurei Daraisa pushed off in a given context, sometimes it's a limited kind of dechiyah, a limited kind of dispensation. It's only dechuya. You know, it's a last-ditch effort. If you have no way of not violating the particular Isser, it's mutter. But if you have a way, you should try to minimize. And sometimes we say, no, it's hutra. It's a very expansive kind of heter. And even if you have an out, you have a way out, it's still mutter to be docha that particular issa. So when it comes to pikuach nefesh, specifically in the context of Shabbos, there's a whole discussion in the Achronim as to what the nature of the heter of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is. There's an interesting lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph writes, "Duchuya hi Shabbos etzel sakonas nefashos." What do you think the Rambam holds? Is pikuach nefesh duchuya or is it hutra? Tough question there, right? Well, the taka is a tough question because it's the machlokas Achronim what the Rambam meant. The pashut of the Rambam obviously is that it's duchuya, it's limited. That's what the Kesef Mishnah writes. But the Magid Mishnah later on, in the same Perek, in Perek Beis Halacha Yud Dalid, the Magid Mishnah has a whole discussion. It's a complicated Rambam and Ravid. We're not going to get into it right now. But the Magid Mishnah understood that the Rambam must have felt the way that he feels is compelling. The Magid Mishnah feels that someone who's a Chol Hashiyesh Bo Sakana on Shabbos, one is allowed not only to do what he needs right now for Pikuach Nefesh, but you can even do what they call osim kol tzarchei chola. You can do all of his tzrachim, meaning you can even make a fire for him to warm him up. Does he have to be warmed? Is it pikuach nefesh if he's not going to get warmed? Not really, not necessarily. That might help him a little bit, but come on. It's not necessary for pikuach nefesh. Eating and drinking, got a shecht for him if he needs fresh food or whatever he needs. You got to do those malachas on Shabbos to prevent pikuach nefesh. But you don't have to warm up for him. But it doesn't matter. Chola sheyesh bo sakana, he's in a state of pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is docha, is a Shabbos, not only in a limited sense, it's an expansive dechia. When the Rambam says dechuya hi Shabbos eitzel sakonas nefashos, he didn't mean dechuya, claims the Magid Mishnah. He really meant utra. He meant it's pushed off completely. If it's pushed off completely, then osen kol tzarech echola b'Shabbos, if he's a chola sheyesh bo sakonah, if he really has sakonah. So some wanted to suggest that the machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether a chola on Yom Kippur, has to eat pachas pachas mikashir, or he can eat kedarko, that's the same machlokas. Pikuach nefesh, right? Pikuach nefesh, when it comes to Yom Kippur, do we say that pikuach nefesh on Yom Kippur is hutra or is it dechuya? If you say it's hutra, why should you have to eat pachas pachas mikashir? Pikuach nefesh is docha the isra achila on Yom Kippur completely. It doesn't exist. It's hutra. If it's hutra, if it's an expansive heter, then you shouldn't have to eat less than a shir. You should be able to eat kedarko, able to eat normally. But if we assume that even on Yom Kippur, even vis-a-vis the Yisrachil on Yom Kippur, pikuach nefesh is only duchuya, it's a limited kind of heter, so we can understand why he'd have to eat pachas pachas mikashir. He'd have to eat less than the shir if he can. If he doesn't need the shir, so then he should eat pachas pachas mikashir, because whenever you have an out, pikuach nefesh is not going to be matir. All out desecration, denigration of the Yisr, you have to limit the violation of the Yisr as much as you can. La halacha, how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Resh Yud Ches in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim in Siv Zayin, he writes that a chola who has to eat on Yom Kippur should eat pachas pachas mikashir. So it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is paskining like the Ramban, that a chola should eat pachas pachas mikashir. There's no question. The Chaim Brisker is known to have said that on Yom Kippur, if a chola has to eat, if he's a chola sheyesh bo sakana, he can eat kedarko. He should eat regularly. He should not eat pachas pachas mikashir. There's a whole shmua, Rabbi Shechta says over in one of his svarim that when the Brisker Rav, or when Moshe Soloveitchik was leaving Reb Chaim, he told him, remember to paskin the way I told you on Yom Kippur, if the chola is a chola sheyesh bo sakana, tell him to eat normally. He shouldn't eat less than a shir. This was a masora. Reb Chaim was very enamored of. He was very, very strong about this particular psak. He used to say in different contexts, he says, I'm not Megil in Issa Shabbos, I'm a Machmer in Chola. I'm a Machmer in Pikuach Nefesh. I'm not a Megil in Issa Shabbos, I'm a Machmer in Pikuach Nefesh. So what's the Reb Chaim based on? Reb Chaim Lechor is based on that Magid Mishnah in Hilchos Shabbos. The Magid Mishnah in Hilchos Shabbos that says that also in Kol Tzarchish Chola B'Shabbos, you see Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra. Maybe Reb Chaim felt it's not only Hutra on Shabbos, but it's Hutra Megabi Yom Kippur as well. Hutra. It's an expansive kind of a heter. Once the chola is allowed to eat, once you're allowed to do malacha for the chola, you can do it in any which way. You don't have to minimize, you don't have to limit the way that you're going to violate the particular issur involved. Yeah, the problem is, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins beferish that he has to eat pachas mi kashir. What's Reb Chaim saying? It's against the Shulchan Aruch.
He always does that.
Well, I'm sorry?
That's his
He's always against the Shulchan Aruch. I hear what you're saying, but okay. Some Achronim wanted to suggest that maybe even if you follow the Magen Mishnah and Hilchos Shabbos, maybe legape Yom Kippur, there's still room to be machmir. Meaning, even if you'll say that osin kol tzarchei chola b'Shabbos, pikuach nefesh might be hutra when it comes to Shabbos, but maybe legape the Yisra Achila on Yom Kippur, maybe we shouldn't say that pikuach nefesh is hutra. Why? What's the difference? Pikuach nefesh is pikuach nefesh. What's the difference? The answer is because the Gemara in Yuma has different psukim to teach me the heter of pikuach nefesh. Does anyone know some of the psukim? What's one? The famous pasuk is what? V'chai b'hem, right? V'chai b'hem v'lo sheyamos b'hem. But there's another pasuk the Gemara in Yuma has. V'shamu b'nei Yisrael es ha-shabbos, chal of Shabbos achas kidei sheyishmu Shabbos asarbe. Violate this Shabbos so that they'll be able to be shomer more Shabbos. So pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. So someone has suggested maybe the reason why the Magen Mishnah felt that pikuach nefesh is hutra on Shabbos is because there's an extra pasuk that's talking specifically about Shabbos to tell me that pikuach nefesh has an extra heter. But for all other Yisurei Torah, maybe pikuach nefesh doesn't have the expansive heter. Yom Kippur doesn't have the pasuk b'shem of Bnei Yisrael as a Shabbos associated with it. Only v'chai b'hem applies to Yom Kippur. So since only v'chai b'hem will apply to Yom Kippur, maybe we shouldn't assume that the heter is so expansive. So even if Reb Chaim wants to follow the position of the Magen Mishnah when it comes to Shabbos, someone has suggested that l'gabi achila on Yom Kippur, we should assume that the heter pikuach nefesh is only d'chuya, it's limited, we should follow the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and that's it. We should only allow the chola to eat pachas pachas mika shir. He should not be able to eat a full shir if he doesn't have to. If he has to, obviously he can eat a full shir, but if not, he should eat less than a shir if it's all possible. What happens if a chola taka has to eat? So what does he do in terms of benching? That's another issue that the Achronim talk about. We shall talk about this. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim in Siman Tav Reish Yud Ches Sif Yud quotes from the Rosh that if a chola eats on Yom Kippur and then this Yashva Daito, then he feels better. I mean, obviously, if he can't bench, if he doesn't have the presence of mind to bench, he's not going to bench. But if he has the presence of mind to bench, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Rosh that you should mention Yom Kippur in Birchas HaMazon. You should say Yal V'Yavo in the benching. That's the position of the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham quotes Rabbi Avigdor Kohen Tzedek, another one of the Rishonim, who says, no, you don't have to say Yal V'Yavo, because this Yom doesn't have any, there's no mitzvah sachila on this yom. There's a heter achila for you, but there's no mitzvah sachila on this yom. This is a day that you're really supposed to be fasting. So because there's no mitzvah sachila on this yom, Rabbi Avigdor Kohen Tzedek says, you should not mention Yom Kippur in benching. What's the point? You only mention the particular day involved, the yom, the yom tif, the Shabbos, etc. If it's a yom that has a mitzvah sachila associated with it. Yom Kippur is not a day that has mitzvah sachila on it. It's also ba'achila. So if it's also ba'achila, it doesn't make any sense to mention Yom Kippur in the Birchas HaMazon. The Magen Avraham himself says that l'chora, you don't really have anything to lose. You should mention Yalav Yavo in the Birchas HaMazon. You should follow the Rosh. But he does say there's no chiyuv to have Lecha Mishnah. There's no chiyuv to make Kiddush. Maybe even one shouldn't make Kiddush unless you just make a Bar Piyagofen. But you shouldn't say the extra bracha Mekadesh HaShabbos or Mekadesh Yom HaKippurim, whatever, Mekadesh HaShabbos Yom HaKippurim, whatever. Whatever the long version would be, the Magen Avraham says probably better not to do that, because we Hecha Matzinu, that there's a chiyuv to make Kiddush. But to just mention Yom Kippur in Birchas HaMazon, that's not so bad. You're not adding an extra bracha Shein Etzricha. So l'chora, that perhaps you should do. It's interesting, you find the machlokas Rabbi Avigdor Kohen Tzedek in the Rosh, should you mention Yom Kippur in Birchas HaMazon? What's the machlokas? The machlokas is, do we mention a Yom Tif or some Yom Kodosh in Birchas HaMazon only when there's a mitzvah sachil on that day? Or is it a chovas hayom? Whenever you are engaged in tefillah or in Birchas HaMazon on a Yom Kodosh, then there's an obligation to mention that particular day. So it's not a function of the mitzvah sachila. Rabbi Avigdor Kohen Tzedek assumes it's a function of mitzvah achila. You're mentioning Yom Kippur, you're mentioning Yom Tov, you're mentioning Shabbos during Birchas HaMazon because there's a mitzvah achila. Yom Kippur is not a day that you have a mitzvah achila. So if there's no mitzvah achila, Rabbi Avigdor Kohen Tzedek says that there's no Yalav Yavo, there's no mentioning of the day in Birchas HaMazon. And the Rosh says no. The Rosh says that you have to mention Yom Kippur because it's Yom Kippur. The Yom obligates you to mention the day in Birchas HaMazon and in Tefillah. Why, Taka, does the Magen Avraham say that you shouldn't make Kiddush? Well, what's the idea? Why can't there be Kiddush on Yom Kippur? So, Lechora, that's related to the Gemara Psachim. We know that Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suda. Kiddush is linked to a Suda. It always has to be linked to the Suda. We have complicated discussions. What does Suda mean? Does it mean bread? Is Mizonos enough? I mean, we assume most people are Megal to claim that a Mizonos would be enough for a Suda. That's why we don't have bread at Kiddushim, and many of our Kiddushim. And yet we assume that we are yotzei to the midst of Kiddush that way. That is called Kiddush Makom Suda. What the Magen Avraham probably was saying is that since Yom Kippur is not a Yom Suda, it's not a day that's ro'i for Suda, so you really can't have Kiddush Makom Suda. So even if you in particular are going to have a Suda, but maybe Chazal never instituted the concept of Kiddush in the context of a Yom Kippur, because it's not a day that's really ro'i for Suda. And since Kiddush Makom Suda is one of the requirements of Kiddush, then it doesn't make any sense to make Kiddush on such a day. Meaning there was no takana to make Kiddush on Yom Kippur because it's not a day that's ro'i for Suda. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his comments to Shulchan Aruch, points out that this might be true if Yom Kippur falls out on the weekday. But if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, maybe a chole who eats on Yom Kippur should taka make Kiddush. Because aside from Yom Kippur, there's another Kiddusha. There's Kiddusha Shabbos. So even if you'll tell me that the din of Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suda dictates that Yom Kippur is a day that Chazal never instituted the concept of Kiddush on, but that's Yom Kippur. But Shabbos, we know, has a chiyuv of Kiddush. So if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, Rabbi Kiva Eger wants to suggest that maybe min haTorah, the Chola would be chayav to make Kiddush. Taka should be chayav to make Kiddush. Because al Shabbos, he does have the idea of Kiddush Makom Suda. Now, maybe there's a dispensation for everyone else, people who can't eat, it's Yom Kippur, after all, so they don't have to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. But the Chola, who's allowed to eat, Hitaka has an obligation to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Suda Shabbos, so maybe he should have to make Kiddush as well. Yes?
Should the Chola, if he's eating bread, wash?
Yes, absolutely. Why not?
Well, is there,
that's whether it's Shabbos or not. There's an
Isser Rechitza.
There's an Isser Rechitza. Ah.
So would that be not between the Rambam and whether it's the rice or the
No, I think it would be mutter for him to wash. I think it still would be mutter for him to wash.
Like it's not Tanim?
What? It's not Sheltainig, right? It's not Sheltainig. We know Kohanim, Huduchen, wash their hands completely, in fact. That's for a mitzvah. Certainly, the Chola would certainly have to wash. I don't think he should wash his full hands. It doesn't seem logical, right? If it's enough in the morning just to wash until the end of the fingers, Lachar, it should be enough for washing also to wash until the end of the fingers. Yes.
Why would he only need Kiddush Minatorah?
Which case?
Saying that.
Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos.
Yeah, the right thing. He wouldn't need Kiddush. Why is it?
No, even Minatara is what I'm saying. Right. Rabbi Kiva Eger wants to say, even Minatara, if Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, the Chola should have to. The Or Sameach has a famous comment where he disagrees. The Or Sameach in Hilchas Avodas Yom HaKippurim, Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, he says that even if Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, the Chola should not be Chayav Mekiddush. Why not? It's Shtach Shabbos, Rabbi Isai. Why shouldn't he be Chayav Mekiddush? You know why? The Or Sameach. When Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, it's not Yom Kippur and Shabbos. It's not Shtei Kedushas. It's not Shtei Kedushas. It's one Kedusha. It's a hybrid Kedusha. It's a new day. Yom Kippur Shabbos. It's Yom Kippur Shabbos. It's not a Yom Kippur and a Shabbos. It's Yom Kippur Shabbos. It's one day. Yom Kippur Shabbos does not have Kiddush associated with it. The mitzvah of Kiddush is said about Shabbos, but not about Yom Kippur Shabbos. This is a hybrid Kedusha. It's not a Shtei Kedushas. It's a new form of Kedusha. And this Kedusha does not have a Kiddush associated with it. I think the Minhag HaOlam is to assume, like the Or Sameach, that even if Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, the Chola does not make Kiddush. He can make a Baruch HaGofen if he wants, but that's not really Kiddush. I mean, I guess it could be a Kiddush Drabanan, if you will. I'm sorry? If it's during the day, right. He's not going to eat at night, probably, right? So... But that's not the real Kiddush. The real Kiddush is mentioned the day, the Kiddusha of the day. So Lechora, then it's probably preferable for him not to make Kiddush. I heard once someone wanted to tell his kids, his Ketanim. Ketanim are another example of people who can eat. Right? So someone wanted to tell his children when Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos. I'm not sure if he said this or was planning on doing it. There was a discussion. I don't remember what the whole discussion was. But someone had the idea that maybe his children should eat, since they're going to eat on Yom Kippur at some point in time, they should eat before Chatzos. If Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, they should eat before Chatzos, because on Shabbos there's an Isatainis. Now on Yom Kippur there's no Isatainis, but Mitzad Shabbos there is an Isatainis. So since they're going to eat anyway, they should eat before Chatzos. So the truth is, according to this Arsameach, there's nothing to talk about, because if you assume Yom Kippur Shchalios B'Shabbos is a new breed, it's not Yom Kippur and Shabbos, but rather Yom Kippur Shabbos. So on this Shabbos, the Taka is no Isser Tainus before Chatzos. It's a different kind of a Shabbos. So in that case, if you're not going to tell them to make Kiddush, Lachar, they don't have to be Machmer to eat before Chatzos. They can stay in Shul a little bit further, and they can eat after Chatzos whenever it's absolutely necessary for them. Eat. Yes.
So the Kiddush of Yom Tov is still going to have the lashon of it still sounds like it's two separate Kiddushim. So why would Yom Kippur be different? We say Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Right.
What are we supposed to say? Okay. Shabbos Yom Tov? We can't talk like that. I mean, I can talk like that in the Shir, but I can't say Kiddush like that.
So on Yom Tov, that Kiddush is still just it's like one Kiddusha.
Is Yom Tov Shechalios B'Shabbos a Kiddusha Achas, or is it not?
Or is it something different? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do they say by eating the Beitza too, right?
How can you be Yotze your mitzvah of Suda Shabbos separately, or should you eat a separate Kazayas to be Yotze what your mitzvah of Suda on Shabbos and mitzvah of Suda on Yom Tov?
They say that by Pesach night.
Right. I don't know, I have to look into that. It's an interesting idea. There is somewhat of a discussion, if I remember correctly, I think in terms of Erev Tavshilin is... There's a Rashi in Psochim on Daf Mem Vav that I think seems to assume that when Yom Tov is Chalios B'Shabbos, maybe it is like a Kedusha Achas. It's not so clear. It's a discussion in the Rishonim. Not so clear whether we look at Yom Tov and Shabbos as being independent Kedusha, so it's really one hybrid. It's like a superimposed Kedusha, but it's really one unit. It's not clear.
Or is that saying because Yom Kippur is so special that that's why it would be one?
Not because it's so special, but because whenever you have two kedushos being chal one on the other, or I should better say, Shabbos is kviyah v'kaimah. Shabbos always exists. If another kedusha on the Shabbos, so he assumes it's one unit. It's not a double kedusha, but rather it's a superimposed kedusha that's really viewed as one unit.
You
would probably say in the case of Yom Tov and Shabbos, it would be a kedusha. So according to his logic, you'd have to say it's one compound kedusha. It's not two separate independent kedushas. Yes.
According to Rabbi Akiva Yeager, does he say that you should say Kiddush with including Shabbos, mention of Shabbos and Yom Kippur in it? Or
I think he would. I think he would say that. He'd say that there would be a mitzvah in the Torah to make Kiddush. Okay, we'll stop here.
Make it.